Yo, you're listening to Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, and during today's show, we gave out hourly winning words for our 10K a day giveaway. Hopefully you heard them and you entered. Remember to keep listening every day, every hour for your chance to hear the hour's winning word. Just remember, you have to enter before 1 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for listening. Good luck. And you get that cash. You get those bands. You get that Skrilla. You get that. Give me the loot. Give me the loot.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Jimmy's words in my head.
The most poignant seven words ever uttered in any speech anywhere.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
So I will never give up.
To be honored with this, I now have a responsibility to also not ever give up. I listened to all that he said, everything that he asked of us. And that's to build the V Foundation.
What I would like to be able to do is to spend whatever time I have left and to give and maybe some hope to others.
We are going to find a cure for cancer.
Because of all the donations, research, and support, mine is one of the lives that's been saved.
Jimmy, my man up there, we are not going to stop chasing our dream to beat cancer.
Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul. And those three things are going to carry on forever.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, as you can hear, it is Giving Tuesday here at ESPN. People all across the country give back to support the organizations that mean the most to them and their communities all day long. Today, ESPN Radio is going to be supporting the V Foundation. So if you're able, ESPN Radio, we're asking that you join us today on Giving Tuesday. You can go to v.org/donate now and help support the critical work of the V Foundation, which is, of course, for cancer research. v.org/donate. Morning, Key. Morning, Jay.
Morning.
Good morning.
So that is going on. We're asking for money to fight cancer. We're also giving you money today, yeah, just for listening, right? So we're going to be doing both things. That's kind of a hard left turn, but we're doing both things.
I know, but just hearing the sounds of Robin Roberts, Jimmy V, Dick Vitale, Stuart Scott, you know, seeing pictures of Craig Sager, who I knew for a very long time, and watching his battle, it just sends chills down your spine, man, about how we can all make a difference by, you know, collectively coming together for a bigger purpose. And this is a big week, very big week for us as a company and for us as a country, frankly.
Late spring, early summer, I went down to the gala, the Jimmy V Gala and Dickie V down in Sarasota, Florida, and about north of $11 million was raised. It was an amazing, I mean, everybody was there in the sports world. It was just it was an amazing sight to see.
I say it every year when this day comes around, but like I think about the number one enemy of humanity is cancer, right? It's the number one. I can't think of a bigger one. And you can't. There's no more noble fight than the fight against it, and it affects every. No one has not been affected by it in their personal lives in some way. There's just no escaping it. So,
and I was gonna say too, Max. You know, like we all have like little things that happen throughout the course of the day, like down days, and like I was late, or you know this didn't happen. When I talk to certain people who have gone through cancer or battle, like it's like they're always fighting. It just puts things in perspective about the mentality you need to have daily in order to beat it. It just puts everything in perspective.
So how do you go from that to talking about sports, right? Like this, I guess.
They're intertwined, man.
We're doing this all day, and we're still doing a sports talk radio show. And that includes our guy, Jeff Saturday, who, Key, you've been waiting for one mistake to roast him. Look, Jeff, the Colts look like a different team since he took over. They won their first game. A missed face mask call resulted in their second loss. Like, because if they call that play, it's like 99% sure that they're going to win that game. And then last night, with under 2 minutes left to play against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I have to say, going into this game, I was nervous for Jeff because Mike Tomlin was coming off a loss. I'm like, I don't know if Tomlin's not going to let too many losses pile up. So the Colts have all three of their timeouts left, under 2 minutes against the Steelers. They convert on fourth down. Took a first down sack, Matt Ryan, okay? On the next play, he scrambles for 14 yards. Matt Ryan scrambles for 14 yards. And on third down, the team runs another run play to get the first down, but they fail to get it.
Have not called a timeout.
They have not yet called a timeout. The team only used their first timeout after the Taylor run.
They had three timeouts remaining.
So on the final play, Ryan threw an incomplete pass toward Paris Campbell, and the game ends. So coach was sitting on, what, two at the end?
Yes.
Two timeouts at the end. Jeff Saturday, our friend, on the Colts' last drive in the fourth quarter.
I thought we had plenty of time. I wasn't really concerned. We still had timeouts, so I wasn't too concerned. I really wanted, when he was going down, I couldn't tell where they were going to start him from going down, right? Like if he was going to get the first down, and then we got there. I expect us to get on the ball and have another play a little bit quicker than that. But again, this wasn't a press for time. We just didn't make enough plays.
What do you think about that, Key?
Sounds like a coach. Looking for answers.
Is it just a blunder, or is there a point of view where it's like, because if it's anyone else, the clock management, but for me, it's Jeff. So, hey, everyone calm down. Let's look at this from all sides. But
sometimes,
is there a point of view that, like, hey, the defense isn't set either. Let's go.
Yeah, and sometimes, though, coaches and players that are out on the field see the clock different than people watch it at home. We feel like we got all the time in the world. Sometimes we don't want to burn our timeouts because if we use the timeout and we got 10 seconds, we think, oh, we can get two plays out of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just a different way of doing things. But this is the first time in his young coaching career that he's had to face, I guess what you would call adversity, in terms of trying to make an in-game decision that is this crucial to a game that they were trying to win. Now, he'll learn from this mistake. If it's a mistake, he'll learn from it. He'll certainly learn from it and probably be better at it next time around.
Yeah, Jeff Saturday's my guy. It was a blunder, man. I mean, when Matt Ryan got sacked, right, 30 seconds came off the clock. 30 seconds came off the clock before they ran the run play. So that's a blunder. Like, that's a legit blunder. And I get that he's processing things. I get that he's working with the OC and calling the right timeout key and how that communication works. But we're seeing, a first-time head coach have a legit blunder in real time, and it was mismanaged. Like, let's just call it for what it is. Two things can be true at the same time. I always say that. He could be our boy, and we can also be critical of how
course.
He handled things down
Absolutely.
The stretch. It was a blunder, man. And then you call your first time after a design run play. That's when you have three on three timeouts, you can call in your back pocket.
Is there anything to be said, though, Jay, for, like, play calling is one thing that could be a separate criticism from clock management, even though they're connected. In other words, like, if you think, like, Jeff's response after the game is, we just didn't execute the plays, basically, right? But he didn't feel pressed for time. Jeff's not the type of dude to make that up, right? He's not going to say, he didn't feel pressed. But is there a point of view where it's like,
he thought they were in hurry up. He thought they were going to hurry, rush up to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, even the idea of taking a timeout, like a lot of times it's you got to let the offense get set and everything. But do you really?
Well, Max, that's a feel, though. I mean, that's like in basketball. If you see the play taking too long, you'll timeout. Like, everybody is too lethargic, too lackadaisical. We need to hurry up. Like, he needs to be on top of that. That comes with feeling experience.
Well, that's why I said he'll be better for it next time. A lot of times, again, us as players and some of coaches that are players, mm-hmm. it moves slower. It feels different to us when we're out on the field. We feel like we got it. We can run three plays in 10 seconds. So we don't rush it the way everybody else wants us to. And then sometimes the people upstairs that are helping you identify what's going on the ground, they're moving at a different pace. They're moving much slower. And everybody's like chaotic. So this is the first opportunity that he had to do something like this, and it didn't work out in his favor. Do I think it'll happen again in the future? No.
What trips me out about it, though, is it's like the thing just as a fan that you're super aware of is you got a timeout. Well, call the timeout, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So you watch it, you go, how does the coach not, right? Like, that's what really gets people tripped up, I think.
And it's in-game in situational football. This is the first time that he's had situational football that he had to deal with. In these situations, he'll go back this week. They'll practice it, situational football, and he'll know, and they'll know, okay, we got to do it this way, we got to do it that way, because this is what Jeff is thinking.
Meantime, if they pick up first down, it's not even a conversation. Like, it came down to it. Jeff has been extremely...
Yeah, but he screwed it up.
Right. That's exactly but he's been extremely competitive in all three games.
But when you see Mike Tomlin's record on Monday Night Football, you're like, dude's 19-3, man.
Especially coming off a loss. Jay, coming like off a loss.
19-3, Key.
Yeah, he coming Stupid. Off a loss, Mike Tomlin was not going to get another loss in prime time.
He should play more on Monday nights this year.
Right. Be a part of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Call us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. So, as you know, we are, you know, it's Giving Tuesday today. We support the V Foundation, Jimmy V's foundation, in the fight against cancer. And if you can, if you're able, we hope you join us today and go to v.org/donate. Now, we are also in the midst of the KJM 10K a day giveaway. We're giving away $10,000 every day, every hour, $2,500 that the show's on. The show's on 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. Giving away 50 G's a week. Already over 100, how many? Over 50 different people at this point have won $2,500? I think it's 50. Anyway, every hour we give you the winning word at 10 past the hour. You text it to 777-000 just like that. That's all you got to do. Text the winning word to 777-000. It's 10 past the hour.
KJ and Max, 10K giveaway.
And apropos of the day, winning word is research. R-E-S-E-A-R-C-H. Research. As in the important research that your money, when your money goes to the V Foundation, mm-hmm. the important research in the fight against cancer that takes place. Research.
Research on not mismanaging the clock.
Wait a minute. Those are two different things. 777-000, research. All right. Go to v.org/donate and give what you're able to give. What you're able to give, if you're able to give. More KJM next.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is V-Week at ESPN.
I'm still here. I'm fighting. I'm not losing. But I got to amend that. When you die, that does not mean that you lose to cancer. You beat cancer by how you live, why you live, and in the manner in which you live.
Join the fight against cancer. Go to v.org/Stewart. All donations benefit the Stewart Scott Cancer Research Fund.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Click more on the lower right-hand corner of the app. Scroll down to live radio. We are portable. ESPN U. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And, of course, a lot going on today. Not only all the sports talk, and we have the KJM 10K a day giveaway. We're giving away $2,500 every hour. You listen for the winning word, 10 past every hour. Text it to 777-000. But we are – this is – look, it is Giving Tuesday. So, you know, we here at ESPN, all day long, we support the V Foundation in really the most important work. There's no more important work than fighting against humanity's enemy, right? Which there's no bigger enemy than cancer. Anyway, you can go to v.org/donate now and help the critical work of the V Foundation for Cancer Research. And so research is our winning word of the hour. We are joined now by Brian Custer, ESPN Sports Center anchor. Good morning, Brian.
Morning. How are you doing?
Good to have
you. Jay Will, how are you?
How you doing, brother?
So for those who don't know, Brian, how has cancer touched your life?
Well, look, I mean, you know, it was almost 10 years ago. You know, I was had just turned 42, best shape of my life, worked out, martial artist, boxed, all that type of stuff. I'm probably the only person in my family. And I'm talking about my immediate family, from my parents to my brothers, who go to the doctor every year to get a checkup, and did it every year and just went to the doctor. And, you know, he said, you know, now that you're 40, you know, you probably ought to start getting a PSA done. And I had no idea what a PSA was, what my prostate was. And we did the exam and he said, you know, listen, the number is a little bit high. You probably want to come back again and let's do it again. And came back again, did it. And, you know, for anybody who knows, if it's over a 4, you know, you're in trouble. Mine was a 5.4, which was way over the number. And he basically said, you know, look, you got to go get a biopsy. And had a biopsy done in like 2 weeks later. And the doctor called me in and said, you know, Brian, there's no easy way to tell you this. You got cancer. It's aggressive. It's not effing around. And if you don't have surgery immediately, it'd be problems. And I looked at him. I said, Doc, I've never had surgery in my life. Can we do something else? And he said, sure, we can try something else. But if it doesn't work, you'd probably be dead within a year.
Mm. Well, B, what was that battle like, though? Like going through it emotionally and all of those things?
You know, it was rough because you got to think, this was almost 10 years ago. So, you know, the climate has kind of changed on, you know, how networks and people, you know, accept those who have cancer. And so I kept it quiet. I didn't want nobody to know. I didn't want the job to know. So, you know, I basically went and had surgery and I was back to work. I would say like a month after having surgery, which I certainly wouldn't recommend to anybody. But, you know, at the beginning, I didn't even tell anybody. I didn't even tell my wife, my kids, because the doc initially said, hey, look, let's find out exactly what it is before we say anything. We don't want to get anybody scared. But I'll tell you, it was trying mentally, because when you face your mortality, your whole perspective on life changes. Now, luckily for me, surgery went well, Key, but, you know, I would say 2 years after surgery, my numbers started to go up a little bit more. And then I had to go through 38 bouts of high grade radiation. Mm. So, it, you know, cancer is one of those things that messes with you mentally because you think you've whipped it. And then all of a sudden it comes back and you got to go through that whole fight again. And you and your family go through it. So it was tough because you have to be strong mentally to really fight this disease.
Brian, you know, hearing you talk about not saying anything just kind of reminded me of Chadwick Boseman when he was filming through Wakanda, right? And nobody knew about colon cancer and what he was struggling from. Can you just take me to that moment because I can't even imagine, like, how was it for you when you did finally tell your wife that this is what you had?
Well, it was shocker because, you know, again, once I got the diagnosis and he told me, whew, boy, I tell you, you could have knocked me over with a feather, because I'll be honest with you, when I was in his office and he told me those words that you have cancer, it's aggressive. All I remember, Jay, is that I was kind of looking through the dock, because I remember there was a window, there was a bird in the tree, and all I was focused on was that bird. And obviously I must have been crying, because what snapped me out of it was his hand, and he had touched my forearm and was giving me tissues. And it kind of snapped me back to life, so to speak. And, you know, when I went out of his office and called my wife, man, I cried like a baby, man. I don't wish that on anybody, because, you know, all I thought about at the time, my boys were really young. I think they were like, you know, 5, 4. And all I was thinking was, you know, am I going to see them graduate? Am I going to see them get married? You know, how much time do I have on this earth? So it was something that really shook me to the core. But again, I had to then go into fighter mode, because I had to tell myself that, you know what, I'm going to beat this. This disease is not going to slay me. And that's really what you have to do. You have to get yourself strong mentally to fight this disease. And it's imperative that people give, because, listen, you know, 1 out of 6 Black men are going to develop prostate cancer in their life. It's not an old man's disease anymore. You know, when I had surgery, I was 42. God willing, by next August, I'll be 10 years now cancer free. But when I had surgery, there was a guy that was 32 who was going in at the same time I was going in to have surgery done. You know, in Black men, we are twice as more likely to die from prostate cancer than white men. So it is so important that we recognize that we go get health checks every year, because it can save your life. It certainly saved mine.
Brian Custer, thank you. That was powerful. Thank you for sharing, and congratulations on being cancer-free for as long as you've been cancer-free. It's inspirational.
Blessings to you, brother. Seriously, Brian.
I appreciate it, man. You guys are doing great work, man. Look forward to working with you. Key, Max, Jay, I look forward to doing shows with you guys in the future.
Likewise, Brian.
Same here, man.
So that is Brian Custer, ESPN SportsCenter anchor, with some powerful stuff. If you are able, we hope that you'll choose to join us today, if you're able, on Giving Tuesday. Go to v.org/donate to help support the critical work of the V Foundation for Cancer Research. We have more KJM next.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Jimmy, my man up there, I know in spirit you're up there with Stuart Scott watching what we're doing or thinking about us. And I will tell you this, Jimmy V, my man, we are not going to stop. Stop chasing the dream of raising dollars in your dream. Jimmy's dream was to beat cancer, and we must do it.
Join the fight against cancer. Go to v.org/donate. 100% of your donation goes to cancer research.
There's no more noble fight in this world. If you could easily say, what's the enemy of humanity? Cancer is a very, very good answer for that. So the fight against cancer, there's just nothing more important. And today is Giving Tuesday. This is a day when people all across the country give back to support the organizations that mean the most to them and their communities. So today, all day long here at ESPN, ESPN Radio is going to be supporting the V Foundation. If you are able, if you can't do it, we get it. But if you're able, we hope that you'll choose to join us today on Giving Tuesday. Go to v.org/donate now and help support the critical work of the V Foundation for cancer research. And it is time for Key's Real Rankings. Key, these are the best teams in the NFL. Here we are in Week 12.
Yes, that is correct. In my Real Rankings, everybody has their own rankings and what they think teams are. I'm sure Mike Tannenbaum, Jay Will, and yourself will, you know, have something to say about the way things are. But let's knock it down, Yates.
Number 7.
So it's 7 teams this week. Last week it was 8. Tennessee was sitting at 8. They're not in the top 7. Cincinnati Bengals, your team with Joe Burrow. Max is certainly sitting in the top 7 this week. Last week they were not in it, but they seem to be hitting their stride without Ja'Marr Chase in the lineup. They're still throwing the ball all over a lot, doing some things with Joe Burrow, getting out of there with a W this past week.
Number six.
Things don't change from last week. Buffalo Bills on a tough call over Thanksgiving against the Detroit Fighting Lions and Dan Campbell. They win that victory after two straight games in Detroit. They sit at 6. Nothing changes there.
Number 5.
And number 5 doesn't change at all again. The Miami Dolphins took care of business against the Texans. They were 5 last week. They're 5 again this week. There's only 7 teams in this week's real ranking. Tua's playing amazing. The offense is doing great. This team is on poise to do something, hopefully, during the postseason.
Tua is playing amazing.
Number 4.
Number 4. Does it change again from last week? The San Francisco 49ers sit at 4. They took care of business against the Arizona Cardinals. I think they certainly are going to give Cliff Kingsbury his walking papers at the end of the year. Uh-oh. Based on the way we see things. Not calling for him to get fired. Not my job. He's doing it himself.
Number 3.
Now, this is where it gets very interesting. Things change. This is where the controversy starts, right? Last week at number 3 with the Philadelphia Eagles. This week, I put the Kansas City Chiefs in there. Look,
what?
It wasn't a great victory over the Rams. Oh, the Rams are a banged-up team. Broken down team. Sean McVay looks like he's 75 years old now.
God.
When he was People's Magazine's top 100 most beautiful in the world.
Most
a week
beautiful
ago.
Babies.
Yes,
and now
always.
He's now
he looks 75 years old. The team is certainly worn on him. Kansas City still in the top 3. They just fell a little bit.
This list is terrible.
It's horrible.
What a terrible list. Boo.
Of course, boo. James Steele, our producer, Kansas City Chief fan, doesn't agree with me. Sitting at number 2, Yates.
Number 2.
The Philadelphia Eagles. How can Philadelphia? They got one loss. There's no way they should be number 2. They should be number 1. They beat Green Bay. La da 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 da. Yeah, they beat the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers gets hurt and doesn't finish the game. Jordan Love comes in. Jalen Hurts puts himself at number 2 in the MVP conversation. It's a really good football team, no question about it. But right now, as it stands, I don't know if they're better than the number 1 team.
Number 1.
And the number 1 team, the Dallas Cowboys. Michael Parsons and company, along with Dak Prescott. They're going to probably pick up OBJ to add some more firepower to the offense. Ezekiel Elliott and Pollard. You know, CeeDee Lamb, if he can hold on to the football, he'll be a real good lamb to chop, so to speak, for you to eat up.
Hey, that's it. Simple and plain. The Cowboys, the Eagles, Kansas City, San Francisco, the Miami Dolphins, Buffalo, Cincinnati. You can argue all you want about the way the real rankings look this week, because next week there's no telling who's in there.
Oh, we will argue. These rankings are brought to you by Dell for your small business needs. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. As you heard Key mention, Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, is with us here at the Seaport. Good morning,
like a
Mike.
Rhinestone Cowboy.
So Jay is champing at the bit to go at Key's list. No, what about you?
I just every week, Mike. This is what we have to. This is what we have to endure. Here.
I just want to know what team's supposed to be where. Help me.
How can Kansas City not be number one? You had the number one last week. You're the only person I know that knocks a team down for winning games.
Win by two touchdowns. And you,
you guys didn't win by 50, so I'm going to knock you down
three. They struggled to beat the Rams in the red zone. They couldn't even score. Like, serious.
So Dallas lost to Green Bay 2 weeks ago.
But that was 2 weeks ago. This is this week.
I can't, Mike.
It's this week.
There's a Cowboy infatuation that we have here on this. Keyshawn Johnson. Did you play for the Cowboys or did you not?
Look, what's your
cup of coffee?
Yes or no question. Got me up here like Don Lemon. Is yes or no question?
Kind of look like him a little bit now. I think about it.
Jeez.
Curtis Granderson, I thought.
Yes.
Mike, I'm very relieved that Key has Cowboys number one and so many people are now taking them to win the Super Bowl. I was nervous early in the year when no one was taking them, because every year people take them and they never win. I was thinking, oh, no one's taking them. They might win. That Key has them rated so high gives me comfort as a Giants fan. What do you think of his rankings?
I'll say this about Dallas. Like, I think they have the highest ceiling. Like, if everyone played their A game, people don't understand. Like, Dak Prescott, since he's been back, they're number one in the NFL in points.
Yes.
And then you have Micah Parsons and everything on defense. Yes. So I think their A game is really interesting.
What is Dak Prescott's A, like, ceiling? Is it what it was 2 years ago? Is it a different ceiling?
He's a top six quarterback, in my opinion.
Man, that dude can spit it out, Mike.
Top six quarterback?
Man, he can spit it out, Jay.
He's a top six. Wait, time out. He's a top six quarterback?
Yes.
Yeah, give me six that you would take before
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, God.
Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson is five off the top of my head. I would still take Aaron Rodgers as six.
No, see,
I would still take Tom Brady as seven.
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. For what? Are we playing golf?
He came off back-to-back MVP seasons. He's had a broken thumb. Yeah,
back-to-back MVP.
He just came off back-to-back losses, too, probably.
No, I'm not. But still, in the big scheme of things.
No, I'm not. Right now, I'm probably
Jalen Hurts.
No, I'm probably not. I'm probably
I'm taking Jalen Hurts. I'm taking Tua.
We have conversations about him being top 10.
I'm taking Jalen Hurts in a heartbeat.
I'm sorry, Mike. I just top six. Just really
look how he's playing. Just he has great accuracy, great anticipation, and not all completions are the same.
Exactly.
Do you see like the run after catches that? Because he is extremely accurate. And look, they're number one in the league scoring, and they don't even have a great bunch of receivers. So I think this team is, again, we know anything can happen, but if every team played their best game, they're the Super Bowl champs.
Well, anything can happen, but so given all that, it's a miserable failure if they don't make a deep playoff run, right? Like, miserable failure.
You know what we're talking about? Be careful, this is Max setting it up,
right?
Now.
You know what's really interesting that could happen? We were talking about this earlier, is round one of the playoffs, and this is why the NFL is the NFL. Dallas will be a road favorite at Tampa Bay. Because let's just say Philly holds on to the division.
Yeah.
Dallas has to go on the road in round one, and they'll likely have to go to Tampa, and they'll be favored as the road team. Yeah,
don't let Tom Brady knock him out in the first round.
Dallas don't let that happen. I mean, Tampa's O-line is decimated.
Dallas is a really good football team.
Agreed.
And part of the problem is with Dak Prescott, he has a little bit of the Kirk Cousins sort of feel to people. That's why they always, the moment you say, he's really good. Oh, what do you mean? It's like, no, man, this dude really is good. He spits the ball out a certain way, and that is important. When you're in your stride and you're catching the football and you're not breaking stride, like Mike was talking about with him, that's the type of quarterback you want. Now, you talk about Kansas City dropping the three, Jay. They struggled in the red zone against the Rams, okay? Philadelphia's sitting at two. I like it, but I think the Cowboys with Dak Prescott – coming up, I think they play December 18th, I believe. They play the Eagles. I think they're going to wind up beating Philadelphia at home in Texas Stadium. So I'm giving you an early look
Christmas Eve.
So I'm looking at them beating them in Dallas.
Can I bring up one other team from that division, like sneaky under the radar?
Commanders.
I brought it up yesterday. Yeah, I was talking about it.
Yeah. And when we talk about like leadership and problem solving, like Ron Rivera, to me, is as much of a coach of the year candidate. Like, he is, like, talking about, like, a battlefield commander. I think Coach Rivera is doing an unbelievable job. And, by the way, they don't even have Chase Young yet, and they're playing really
well. He's a poor man's Mike Tomlin or Harbaugh, or, like, you know, like, his teams always compete. Maybe they're not winning Super Bowls, but Rivera teams compete every single year.
I looked up, and they were 7-5. I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
And the Giants are wiped out by injury, too, so the Commanders are going to get healthy as the Giants are getting hurt.
And look, Brian Robinson's been a beast, too, man. The way they've been running the ball has been
legit. And just given all the things that they deal with off the field, the fact that in this day and age where distractions are so pronounced, like, I just think it says so much about Ron Rivera's leadership and character that they're
– the Commanders.
And how about Taylor Heineke? Them actually playing for Taylor Heineke. It's not Carson Wentz.
Like, well, that's the main thing. It's not Carson Wentz.
But I give Ron Rivera credit. Like, look, I didn't like the move where he went to Carson Wentz, but the fact he was able to pivot, though, Mike, I give him a lot of credit for that.
Hey, no. Key, we here are not the only ones with criticism of your list. Uh-oh. Will in Connecticut has something to say.
Oh, God.
Will?
Yes.
You are on the air.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How you doing?
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to Key about his list. You got Dallas up there at number one. Dallas is a very talented team, but they also a very highly undisciplined team. Almost every year they lead in the leagues in penalties. I can't see them being better than Philly or the Chiefs. Chiefs is definitely the number one team. Philly is definitely playing like the number two team in the league. And Dallas, we know who Dallas is. They're a good regular season team every year.
We're not in the playoffs yet, though. Mm-hmm. So in
trying to capture the moment.
The penalties haven't come in hunt to come to get them yet. Same thing with Mike McCarthy. In-game decisions haven't come to get them yet. Yeah. So where we're at right now, as it stands today, you can't tell me that they're not the best football team in the NFL today.
They have Micah Parsons.
Next week,
too.
They may not be.
Micah Parsons makes it feel different to me because I think they got the best player in football. Like, you could argue he's the best player in football, and they have him. They didn't have a guy like that before.
But when you get into playoffs, like, it comes down to details, and it comes down to those critical moments. So that's when habits come out. When you lead the league in penalties for 2 years straight, like, that's not a hard bet.
You're right.
I agree with you, but guess what? The playoffs don't start today. So by the time they get to the playoffs, let's say week 16, they might be 10th based on what is happening. But today, the list is the Cowboys today. Doesn't mean they're there tomorrow. Miami might be there tomorrow.
Yeah,
then Miami might go to Buffalo and put 50 on them.
Tell them to people how much you love Tua, Key.
That's Key, like you're saying, the answer's in the title, which is this is the Week 12 rankings. Like,
yes.
Ted Cottrell, longtime great defense coach in the league. He was MFing. I'm up in the coaching box. Safety made a mistake, and he gets him on the headset. He goes, your job description is a title. You're a safety. Get back. And you're saying that the answer's in the title. It's Week 12,
It's
right?
Week 12. San Francisco 49ers sitting on the board at number 4. Now, you can't tell me San Francisco's defense isn't a championship defense and can carry them to the Super Bowl today.
By the way,
now,
the Bills could, too.
At the end, Seattle may get a hold of them up in Seattle and hang 50 on them, and the rankings will look different that day.
By the way, talking about styles make fights, this week Miami and San Francisco, it'll be great to see that San Francisco defense against Miami's offense. I think San Francisco has 4 consecutive second-half shutouts. I mean, they're playing really good on defense.
And Miami has to travel all the way from Miami to the cold. It's not freezing cold, but the Bay Area.
If
you've ever been in the Bay,
off
the water in the San Francisco Stadium, gets a little nippy.
Yeah, it could chill you, man.
Could you compare it to the off the water here?
About the same, Mike.
That cold?
Yeah, I would say right now it's about the same. Because as the sun sets, and it comes off that water, and you get that breeze. You also get a little bit of the mist in the air flying off the ocean. I'm just telling
and
you,
They have offensive weapons in San Francisco. San Francisco has some tough
offensive weapons. Watch out, Miami.
You think that San Francisco defense will probably do what the Bears did where they doubled Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle?
Oh, I don't know what they'll do. They got some young corners. There's a young one named Diamador Lenore, number 38. You got to watch him, Jay. He's good. He was forced into the lineup because of injuries. Mm-hmm. He may never give that starting spot up again. Mm.
And I think the other difference between the Bears right now, moving on from Quinn and Roquan Smith, is, you know, with Nick Bosa back, he can And we'll see what happens with Miami's offensive line. Terron Armstead went out the other day with a pec injury. So, yeah. We'll see the injury report tomorrow. But that 49er front is also really good. Mm.
Meantime, Aaron Rodgers, we talked about this yesterday. Mike and I did on a terrific show, 2 p.m. Eastern, this just in, handsome host. Mm-hmm. Should Aaron Rodgers sit out the rest of the season, Mike, so they can at least take a nice, long, five-game look at what they have in Jordan Love?
100%. You have a responsibility to the organization. And, look, we've seen Aaron Rodgers always worry about him, which he should. But the Green Bay Packers have a responsibility. They need to know what they have in Jordan Love. And I'll make this other point, guys. Jordan Love is doing this. He's getting better. And when does a really good, young, ascending Jordan Love surpass a very beat-up Aaron Rodgers? Like, not criticizing Aaron, but he is beat up right now. Broken thumb. Now he has the oblique, which if you ask a quarterback is a really difficult injury. So from a competitive standpoint, I don't know how much you're losing. And yes, you need to know, because when we get to the offseason and Aaron Rodgers is doing whatever he's doing, wherever he's doing it, how long
whatever
he's doing
retreat,
it.
Whatever retreat, huh?
Yeah. And whatever he's doing, in all seriousness, like, they need to know how strong of a hand they can play. Yes. And can they go win games long-term with Jordan Love? And I'll say this, guys. The quarterback position is a developmental position. We have seen guys like Tua get better, Jalen Hurts get better, Geno Smith get better. Jordan Love is an improved football player. I'm not saying he's Aaron Rodgers. I'm just saying he's a better football player today than when they drafted him.
But Mike,
you can still like Aaron Rodgers while also wanting to see what you have in Jordan Love, though. Like, you
not
know what
yet.
I mean?
Not yet. If Aaron Rodgers is capable of playing and he's ready to go, you play him until you mathematically eliminated from
but
the key,
I think
contention.
Mike's point is an interesting one, which is if Jordan Love is improved to the point that Rodgers can go, but he's severely compromised in a way that means that you're actually not just developing Jordan Love, but giving yourself the best chance to win by playing.
There was a specific play in the third quarter where he threw it behind the line of scrimmage, but across his body. And I mean, you felt bad for Rodgers. You could tell he was clearly in pain. Yeah. And I'm saying, like, that diminished skill, Aaron Rodgers, I'm much more.
Well, yeah, of course, if he can't play and he looks like that, then obviously you turn to Jordan Love. But if he can play and he doesn't have that
pain.
He
looks like Aaron Rodgers.
Not necessarily look like Aaron Rodgers. He looks better than what he did the other night. You play him until you eliminate it.
But weren't you encouraged by Jordan Love?
I've been telling Jay and Max this the whole time. Even 2 years ago when he took over against the Kansas City Chiefs, I didn't feel like he just played god-awful. Like, the guy, people make it seem like this dude can't play football. And that's not the case. He just hasn't had the opportunity.
He had a couple nice throws.
You got to let him in there to develop and see some stuff. But not right now, Jay.
But see, I kind of feel like Matt LaFleur already set it up, because he already called yesterday Aaron Rodgers. Like, he's the ultimate competitor. He's been playing through injuries. Look, it kind of feels like it's set up for Jordan Love to play, because he's – trying to establish with everybody, look how much Aaron Rodgers has fought through injuries to play for this team.
And
he's done enough already.
He's probably tired of Aaron Rodgers, too, to be honest.
So before we let you go, we're presented by Progressive Insurance here on KJM. Mike, what's your reaction to – there's a two-part question about Lamar Jackson. Number one, of course, the situation on Twitter that he then deletes. He posts a message going at a fan and then deletes it. What's your level – and then – they keep losing leads late, the Ravens. This has been going on kind of all year. What do you think about both those things?
Yeah, I would pull Lamar in and say, Lamar, like, you're actually not the quarterback. You're the CEO of this team. Like, you're the face of the franchise, and you can't lower yourself to going on social media after a game. These people can't relate to you. They're jealous of you. They're envious of you. And you just got to be above the fray and take 48 hours and just turn your phone off. You got a lot of people that love you, support you. It's really hard for me to have this conversation, because I've never been criticized on social media, so I don't really understand what he's dealing with. That was a joke.
That's why I looked at like, wait a minute.
Is that sarcasm?
Yeah, he deadpanned it. Yeah.
Yeah, boy, that really went over well. And then, the other thing I would say, by the way, my two teenagers can be like, Dad, you're not funny. You have no secret, But anyway. But the other thing, though, is I really put it on Baltimore, because when they lost Rashad Bateman, their second leading receiver is Devin Duvernay with 29 receptions. So when you try to close out games and play keep away, they have nobody to throw the ball to.
Yeah, they need it. I mean, I know, Key, how they think, their philosophy and everything. They need to go get an alpha receiver. Go get A.J. Brown when he's available.
That's just
what
they
need it so bad, though. They get that one dude, they'll beat everybody.
They're not going to.
That is Mike Tannenbaum, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN NFL front office insider.
I'm going to go check my social media feed because I know it's only going to be positive.
KJM. Eagles were second in Key's rankings. We'll get into it.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.